Good afternoon. I was asked to say something about neoliberalism and education, and to be fair, it can't be done in 10 minutes. But just to make some general comments on it. The problem in relation to education, I think, is that there are so many things happening. It's like a death by a thousand cuts. It's not a full frontal attack in any one particular place, but a whole series of changes are taking place that are undermining, in my view, public provision. This is coming from international levels in terms of the GATS, but also the EU, but also it's quite clear their own government are completely committed to the neoliberal agenda. Education and health have been described. My son has told me recently he's got into watching Star Trek, and we used to think the space was the final frontier. But it's quite clear in relation to this agenda, health and education are seen, as one person described, as the last fortress to be stormed. And the kinds of things we're seeing are things like the growth of for-profit institutions, invasive intrusion by corporations into education, increasing use of market mechanisms of competition, the increasing importance of private money, the use of performance indicators. In fact, there's a whole trust in education of counting things. You know, there's a whole quality assurance process put in place where we count all the time, regardless of the quality of what we do. If it can be counted, it must be important. Increasing research orientated to business requirements, education to meet the needs of the economy and the employability agenda, the mobility of students was a key issue in relation to some of the processes that are happening in the EU in terms of the Bologna process, as it's called. I mean, if I could list them, 10 more things that are happening. The point of all these changes is they're all being shaped by the needs of industry. And in fact, I mean, education has always served industry. We shouldn't get the sort of uptight about this and say education has always been pure. I mean, there's always been an element of education which has served industry. I think what's important about what's happening now, to quote a wonderful book called Scale This University, it says, what's new about today's universities is not only that it serves the corporation, but it seeks to emulate it. I think what's happening is education establishments are increasingly being run as if they were private sector or corporations. And what this means is the use of business models, permanent restructuring. We've seen restructuring in UCD, TCD and so on. Students being treated as customers. The commercialisation of the school space, and this is obviously an issue in relation to public-private partnerships, where you've got business people physically running the school rather than educationists. A key issue in all of this is that teachers and academics are pretty much seen as barriers to all of these things. To quote the body that's been referred to by the main speaker, the European Round Table, they've been quoted as saying that industry only has a very weak influence of the programs taught in schools, and teachers have an insufficient understanding of the economic environment, business, and the notion of profit. Now, it's interesting, I think, when you look at this and look at some of the things that are happening and things like the OECD report, you get these messages constantly reiterated. The OECD report in Ireland, for example, said something like the people who work in these institutions shouldn't be on the governing bodies running them. So it proposed, for example, the removal of staff representatives from governing bodies of third-level institutions, and a greater role for what they call people who have an interest in manpower, skills, and enterprise, and some academic interests. But what they want is the people who are governing our institutions to be the people who are running our businesses. And interestingly, while the OECD report made provision for student representation, which I obviously agree with, our governing bodies of institutions, it makes no mention of staff representation. And it did it because it sees the student as a customer, and the customer is king in this business discourse that's increasingly dominating education. Now, there is no doubt in my mind, and it's quite clear from what I'll tell you in a minute, the EU is absolutely committed as an entity to this, to these various changes and shifts that are going on. The Commission issued a document called Modernising Education and Training, a Vital Contribution to Prosperity and Social Cohesion in Europe in November last. And what it was looking at was basically progress in relation to the Lisbon agenda and what they call the Education and Training 2010 work program. And to quote it, I mean, again, we see this very strong emphasis on, you know, the introduction of business practices into education establishments. So they say that many countries are still, this is in relation to EU countries now, in reviewing progress in relation to this education and training work program, they say, many countries are stimulating private investment by individuals and personal households, private households, particularly in areas where there are high rates of return. For example, through incentives such as vouchers or individual learning accounts, tax incentives or tuition fees. Enhancing efficiency through improving quality is a major theme for reform for most countries, with emphasis on decentralisation and improving institutional management. They say further, strengthening collaboration between higher education and industry is recognised by most countries as a basic requirement for innovation and competitiveness. Now, it's full of this stuff. It's full of this stuff and it's problematic. And it's also problematic because some of the information that's provided in the document. They've set a number of benchmarks to use that, you know, again, using the language of business, they've used this number of benchmarks set for the year 2010 in relation to education. It sets benchmarks in a range of areas, but just to look at some of them. And it's interesting this because while the document consistently talks about education having an economic and social role, it's quite clear that it's the economic role that's becoming predominant. So they look, for example, at the benchmark of 16% of European children leave school early. The benchmark is to get that to 10% by 2010. Reviewing progress to date, they said progress needs to be faster. 19.4%, and I say 19 quite deliberately, as you'll see in a minute, 19.4% of 15-year-olds have difficulties with reading literacy in the EU. They've set a target of 15.5% for 2010. There's been no progress on this benchmark between 2000 and 2003. In fact, it's got worse. It's not 19.4%, it's now 19.8% of 15-year-olds are having functional literacy problems. They've set a benchmark of 85% of teenagers going on to upper secondary school. It's 77% at the moment. They've reviewed progress in recent years. Little progress, they say. And the Commission itself says there is too little progress against those benchmarks related most closely to social inclusion. There's one benchmark which has been superseded and has already been met. And remember, this benchmark was for 2010. And this is to do with the number of maths, science and technological graduates. This is the benchmark most closely aligned to the needs of industry. And this is the benchmark which has been surpassed. All of the other benchmarks which are about social inclusion in the language of the EU and which actually have a social impact have not been met, and it says progress is very slow. So I'll make two further points. I don't want to be getting kicked out of here.
Make the points.
Okay. It's quite clear if we look at recent events now, the Irish government is very committed to this agenda as well. Three things. The establishment of Hibernia to deliver an e-learning course for teacher training. Completely private institution. I can't understand how it was established, how it got accredited and so on. The rolling out, the PPP, the Public-Private Partnership Project for secondary schools, the pilot scheme. The Controller and Auditor General discovered that the cost of building those schools was somewhere between 8 and 13% more expensive than any of the schools had been built by the state. What have they done? We're going to build another 29 schools on this basis. Right? And the third thing I would mention is the government has recently established as part of the budget a 300 million euro strategic innovation fund for third level colleges. And as the Irish Times has said, this is designated to foster much closer links between the business community and the third level colleges. Now, I'm not a purist in any sense. I do acknowledge there are constraints on those who work, particularly in higher education, where we do need to address this employability agenda. But I find it extremely problematic when it's the only agenda we're being told we have to address, and then we're being told that business models are the most appropriate way to run our institutions. And that brings me to where we go with this stuff. We need to link. See, I've got two kids. They go to a primary school. The parents of that school spend phenomenal amounts of their time raising money to keep that school functioning. Right? There's been a deliberate policy of underfunding education, in my view, in order to put the argument forward that we need the private sector more involved. Now, we've got to relate the experience of all those parents in this country who spend hours of their time raising money by cake sales and so on. So we've got to link that experience. And it's a very positive in some respects. There's a people commissioned, they want things to be better for their kids and so on. We've got to link that experience with these big questions that we're talking about here today. And I think that's the key task in many respects that faces. And I think in doing that, you know, we need to have a very clear vision of how we see education, how it should be done, how students should be treated, and so on. And I believe, obviously, the teacher unions, of which I'm an activist in one, have a key role in this. We need to build alliances with parents, with students. We may disagree with parents on things, and we do. This county agenda, some parents have bought into it, and I think they're wrong. But we can say to them, look, there are things we disagree on. The resourcing of education is an issue that most people agree on. The problems with the resourcing of education are to do with the model that's been put forward about where we're going, and also things like the Stability and Growth Pact, which I think is having a very profound effect on the government committing for the resource to education going forward. But we need to link the experience of people in suffering under funding. We need to have an alternative vision of where we want to go so we can more efficiently take on the privatisation agenda that's out there in front of us. Because one thing is sure, and from what Brendan had said, and it applies also to the GATS, the more private money you put into education, and if you read the way these GATS things are written and so on, the more private money that goes in, the more they are subject to competition and trade. That's the reality in terms of the rules of GATS and in terms of the way the directive was written and so on. And I think it's problematic and it has to be stopped. But I do think the unions have got to take these issues seriously. We don't. I've had an agenda down for my union conference the last 2 years that the union would oppose public-private partnerships. It hasn't been discussed yet. And I don't think it's appropriate that we can quite rightly defend our pay and conditions and not acknowledge that these bigger processes are going to impact on these as well. And we need to cotton on and understand that the bigger processes at the end of the day are going to determine our capacity going forward in terms of defending our conditions of employment and our pay and so on. Thank you.